Hi.
Hi.
I'd like a keg of beer, please.
You don't say.
Yeah, how much is that?
Your ID, sonny. You little bastard just won't give up, will you? Listen, no ID, no goddamn beer. Can't you get that through your thick skull?
Give me a keg of beer.
Welcome to the first episode of Homebrew on the Strange, a terrible pun and a podcast about homebrewing by me. I'm Eric, and I have been brewing beer for close to a year now, and it's kind of become a major part of my life, this hobby. And so I decided to start this podcast not to make another podcast about approaching the hobby scientifically, doing triangle tests, things like that. There are lots of other podcasts where people are doing that very well, much better than I would ever be capable of doing. This one is just a document of the different styles that I'm brewing. And then I will be sharing the beers with my friends and getting their tasting notes. I'm not sure they would even call it that, getting their reaction. They are not professional beer judges. They are just guys who like to drink, and they will happily tell me right to my face whether or not they think what I'm making is garbage. So like I said, I've been brewing for about a year. I'm going to try to do an episode each time I brew a new batch. So that's probably going to be monthly, maybe every couple of weeks, depending on how quickly I turn things around and how free my friends are to come over and get free booze, which is, you know, all the time. So along with each episode, I will be publishing detailed show notes to the blog, which is at homebrewonthestrange.com. And there you'll be able to see photos of the beers that I'm brewing and anything else that I can include. I track the fermentation meticulously using a tilt hydrometer that publishes readings to a server where I record everything so I can plot it out. I'll share those charts on there so you can get a sense of how it performs, how the fermentation performed if you want to try to make this style yourself. And I'll post links, recipes, you know, everything you need basically to do what I did or to do what I did better and correct the mistakes that I make. Because like I said, I'm definitely not an expert. I'm just sharing my experience of this hobby, having fun. I'm not attempting to make strict, you know, beers that adhere to strict judging guidelines or anything. I just want to make stuff that's fun to make, fun to drink, keep my friends hydrated and laughing, and keep learning more as I expand my portfolio of beers that I'm able to make. So this episode, I'm going to be talking about the Mango Milkshake IPA that I brewed about 2 weeks ago. If you're not familiar with milkshake IPAs, they are similar to a New England IPA, which is a very popular style right now. It is a hazy, citrusy, sweet IPA with not a lot of bitterness. So hops are added gratuitously at the end of the boil and not early on, so they don't get that chance to isomerize. They don't add much bitterness, but you get all of those, you know, you hear juicy, dank, all of those funny descriptors for that citrusy, sweet flavor and aroma that these beers are known for. So the milkshake IPA is very similar, very little bitterness, very late hop additions, but there's also the addition of lactose sugar, and that is a non-fermentable sugar. So after the fermentation process is complete, you still have this sugar hanging out in there, increasing the body, adding that sweetness, and kind of giving it this like heavier, cool mouthfeel. Like you wouldn't say milky, but the term milkshake IPA is not inappropriate. When you taste it, it makes sense. So the one that I made is a mango milkshake IPA. I got the recipe from Brewer's Friend, which is where, if you don't use it, amazing resource for people to create and share recipes. And the recipe that I found, which is just called, actually it's called Tired Hands Milkshake. This recipe was based on another recipe that was posted to Reddit. And that recipe was based on the milkshake IPAs that are brewed by Tired Hands Brewing in Philadelphia. Tired Hands Brewing in Philadelphia is ground zero for the milkshake IPA. They're sort of credited with inventing it. I did a little bit of reading on the internet about the history of the milkshake. And the brief history of it is that back in 2015, Tired Hands did a collab with Omnipolo, which is another large craft brewer. And they collaborated on a beer that I'm going to read straight from the description here. It was fermented on strawberries and vanilla beans and hopped with Mosaic and Citra. They called this beer Milkshake. And that's sort of the moment when the term milkshake enters the conversation. Apparently, it wasn't received very well by the uptight brewing community, but people loved it. So Tired Hands started making more. As of when this post was published, well, let me see what year this is. This was published earlier this year. Tired Hands had 22 different milkshake IPAs. I actually had their strawberry one yesterday because a friend of mine brought some back up to New York for me, and they're awesome. They're great. I've been hearing about these. I've had a few from other places. I had a lactose IPA from Breaker Brewing in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, where a friend of mine works. I've had some other lactose IPAs here in the city. You know, it's something that it's on trend right now. It's definitely something you're going to find if you go looking for it. So I decided to take a swing at making it myself. So I found this recipe. It sort of, you know, covers all the bases that you would find in a Tired Hands milkshake IPA. It's fermented on fruit, and there's vanilla beans involved, and most importantly, the lactose milk sugar. So I'm going to post a link to the recipe in the show notes on the blog, but I'll just run through them real quick. It's 10 pounds of two row, 2 pounds of white wheat, 1/4 pound of honey malt, 1 pound of flaked oats, which is obviously something that you find a lot of in the New England IPAs, adding that body, 1/2 pound of lactose milk sugar. And then, after fermentation was complete, I added 3 pounds of mango, and then with the dry hops, it is, let's see, there's only 1 ounce of Warrior at 60 minutes in the boil. At 1 minute, 2 ounces of Citra, 1 ounce of Galaxy, 2 ounces of Mosaic. You don't need to remember any of this. Obviously, if you're really interested in making it, you can just go to the blog and click on the link. But then the dry hopping is 2 ounces of Citra, 1 ounce of Galaxy, 2 ounces of Mosaic, and some vanilla beans. The recipe on here said 1 vanilla bean, and then the recipe on Reddit that this recipe was based on said 2 vanilla beans. So I split the difference. I did 1.5. I split them. I didn't scrape out the middle or anything like that. I just chucked them in there with the hops and assumed they would do their thing. So how did it turn out? Even before that, how did the brewing and fermentation process go? brewing process, totally easy. I have a mash and boil, and the grain bill fit in there pretty nicely. I've done a few batches on my mash and boil at this point. I use a recirculation pump. I've got a nice little system going. Everything went according to plan, no problems. I ended up getting like close to 6 gallons into the brew bucket that I ferment into, which may have been a little too much. I maybe pushed the limit of what I should have been trying to fit in there. The yeast I used was Y Yeast London Ale 3. That's 1318. So Y Yeast 1318, which I guess is pretty standard for brewing New England IPAs. And I didn't do a starter. I don't do starters. I probably will at some point because I want to start harvesting my yeast, so I don't, you know, stop spending so much money. But for this batch, Y Yeast 1318, that's the liquid smack pack. I got two of them to make sure that I wasn't under pitching. Like I said, I got close to 6 gallons in the bucket, aerated it for a minute just by shaking, dumped in the Y Yeast 1318, and I mean, it was the most active fermentation I've had of all the beers I've made yet. I used there's a thing called a Cold Crash Guardian, I think it's called. I forget who makes it. I bought one of those, and I've been cold crashing my beers. So up until recently, I have just been using a party balloon from Party City, and I fill it with CO2. And I tape it to a hose, and then when it's ready to cold crash, I pull out my airlock and just jam that hose in there, and then that draws in the CO2 when the cold crashing takes place. It lets me avoid oxidation. There's Cold Crash Guardian, basically does the same thing. It's this little plastic bag on a blow-off tube, and as the CO2 is escaping, it inflates this bag first, and then the idea is when you cold crash, it's going to pull that CO2 back in out of the bag and prevent any suck back from pulling in oxygen or star sand or whatever you have at the end of that tube. So they said that when you get it, you're supposed to roll up that bag, let the fermentation start, and then on the first, like after the first day, you open the bag and then like let it fill up. So I put a little clip on it, and in the middle of the night, I heard the clip hit the floor. So I walked in and I took a look at the bucket, and there was the yeast, the croizen, had come through the tube into the bag, out the blow off tube, into the cup of star sand. That looked like a bucket of mud sitting next to the brew bucket. And I mean, I could hear the CO2 escaping the seal around the lid of the bucket. I mean, the pressure was so high. I when I left for work the next morning, I was slightly concerned that it might just explode and paint the walls of our spare bedroom with this wort, which would have been rough because that would have been a very sticky mess. And so that did not happen. Obviously, I was nervous about it all day. Came home from work, it was fine, but it was very, very aggressively blowing CO2. You'll see if you go to the website, look at the post for this, I'll have the fermentation chart, and you can see how rapidly it moved. So fermentation, after the fermentation was complete, I got the three pounds of mango, peeled it up, chunked it, hit it with a blender or a food processor, so it was you know, basically like a fibrous paste, and I put that in a double boiler, got it up to 170 for 15 minutes, then cooled it back down to 60 degrees or whatever, and I dumped it into the fermenter. Kicked off fermentation insanely again. So I had another almost 5 days, I would say, of really active fermentation happening, which made me worry that I was going to lose that mango flavor. This is the first time I've ever put fruit into my beer, so I didn't really know what to expect on that front at all. Then once that seemed to calm down, once it seemed to level out, I did the dry hopping with the vanilla and did that for 3 days, I believe, and then cold crashed and racked it to the keg. Tried to be very careful not to have, as you know, any unnecessary oxygen exposure. I bled the keg off several times to make sure I was pushing any air out that was in there. And then I just went through the normal ale carbonation schedule and hit that with 40 PSI for 24 hours, knocked that down to 20 PSI for another 24 hours. And then I set it to serving pressure, which I think I calculated to be 8 PSI or 9 PSI or something like that. And that is the whole process. That's what I made, how I made it. And the next part of the show is going to be how it went when I decided to pour a few of these for my friends and see what they thought about it. Gentlemen, welcome to the tasting portion of the first episode of my podcast. Do you want to introduce yourselves and, you know, state your bona fides?
Hi, I'm Will. You may know me from the Bosch podcast, Talking Bosch.
Just Boshing?
Whatever it's called. Sorry. Go ahead, Frank.
Hi, I'm Frank. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Chad. I'm sitting next to Frank. That's about it. Oh, I don't really drink beer.
Perfect. So take your beers. I've poured a beer for each of you. Good. Smells good?
Yeah, it smells like citrusy. Like I'm...
Hey, you're going a little fast. I didn't even get a chance.
Coming in hot?
Yeah.
So this is a mango milkshake IPA. Speak into the microphones.
I can smell the mango.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can smell the half and half.
There's no half and half.
Where you just said milk. There's no, it's like...
Milkshake.
Oh, milkshake.
There is no milk in the beer.
It comes off, okay, the nose is very mango-y, I would say.
Yeah.
Very fruity. Fruity nose.
Oh, got some in my nose.
Feel free to pass that mic around.
Yeah.
I like it how it makes my back of my teeth feel.
It makes the back of your teeth feel weird?
Yeah, like where I just got some cavities filled. It makes it tingle a little bit.
That's because it's cold.
Yeah.
You have sensitive teeth. You should probably talk to your dentist.
I remember one time on Bosch, the guy tried to frame Bosch by like leaving like paintings of like the real Bosch, like the painter, in like a murdered guy's house.
Yeah.
And this beer really makes me think of that episode.
Okay.
There's kind of a wheat vibe in
there.
Yeah, kind of, right? Yeah.
Okay.
Right in the front of the mouth when you first take a sip.
You like, are that sensitive to wheat flavors that you
kind
can...
of.
I feel the wheat as well, but you feel like it's like a little ball of flavor and then it's a little watery.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The flavor is right up front.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then it kind of dissipates. Yeah.
I do feel like it's a little undercarbonated. And I don't know.
Like, I think you need to mix the milk up a little bit.
Okay. I gotta stir it up.
No,
just
actual milk. No shake.
No. So it's called a milkshake IPA because it has lactose sugar in it, which is actually a milk derived sugar. So but it's unfermentable, so it's left behind after the fermentation, and it contributes body and sweetness to the beer.
Just stir that shit up, man.
It's not a heavy like beer flavor.
Yeah. So this is I think this qualifies as a New England IPA. And so you add the hops much later in the brewing process, and that makes it less bitter and more of like those citrusy.
I think you mean a Northeastern IPA, not a New England IPA.
Is that what it is? Northeastern?
Yeah. I don't
I mean, either one would work, but.
Was that a joke?
No, but that's what you always call it. You called it
really?
Northeastern IPA. Not
maybe I'm just going back and forth using the wrong terms. I don't know. I thought it was New England.
I find it filling.
Filling?
That's good. Yeah, I'm feeling like kind of full.
You took like three sips of that beer. So, do you like it? Is it something that you would normally drink? If you went to a bar and they were like, we have this.
What is it called?
It's just a mango milkshake IPA.
So I don't, I don't know why I said I don't order beer a lot. Maybe it's just recently. But I would order this, and if I got it, I probably wouldn't know what I ordered. Be at some fancy beer bar, and I'd be like, yeah, I'll take the cheap one. And then this would show up, and I would enjoy it. It's not too heavy. But why did you make this one?
I don't know. I was just looking
Where did you get the recipe?
Oh, I got the recipe from the internet.
The internet.
So there's a brewery in Philadelphia that's famous for this style of beer. Tired Hands Brewery?
So how long did it take to make?
How long did it take to make?
Yeah.
I think it was like 10 days total. From grain to glass.
Is there anything you would do differently?
So there's vanilla in it. Can you taste any vanilla?
No.
I feel like...
Is that what's making it feel milky?
No, that's the sugar that I just mentioned a minute ago. Keep up.
Focus on the milk part.
Yeah. I feel like you can... You can smell the vanilla a tiny bit, but you can't really taste it.
What do you think of it?
I think it's pretty good. Overall, I'm happy with it. I wish that it was... I don't know why I'm having trouble getting a good level of carbonation. As it sits there, you can see that there's bubbles coming out of it. And I carbonated it the same way that I carbonate all my other beers. But I think maybe because it's like a heavier beer, maybe that has something to do with it. Like the heavy body of it makes it take longer for the carbon dioxide to dissolve into the solution. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. But overall, I think it tastes good. I think it would be really good in the summer. It's like refreshing with that citrusy taste because it was also fermented with fresh mango. So like that, it has a pretty strong mango flavor and scent. I probably would have added more vanilla so it would be more present.
Have you had this beer that you're trying to make before?
Yeah.
Does it taste similar to it?
It's pretty close, yeah. Yeah.
Would you let your wife drink this?
Yeah, but she doesn't like beer.
She doesn't try your beer?
So.
No. She smells it. Right? Yeah. She's nodding.
What else can you talk about beer?
Well, I was told that the vanilla flavor would come out more with the carbonation. And I've noticed that, like, the first pour... Each day when I try it, the carbonation's pretty good, and then it I don't know, I guess because I'm like letting pressure off in the keg, the carbonation kind of dissipates a little bit, and that first one always has more vanilla flavor than the rest. So
Do you know what the alcohol content would be in this?
Yeah, it's around like 6.3.
Oh God!
So you're gonna be toast, and halfway through that glass, you're gonna be asleep on the couch. But
it's a very comfy couch. I'm glad.
Yeah, it's it's good. Oh. You could drink like three of these and feel pretty good. It's definitely not something you would want to drink all night because I think a normal hardy person with a strong constitution.
That's a good way to take a nap for the rest of the day.
But yeah, I think that the watery, sensation is coming from the lack of carbonation. That's like a pretty common thing.
So why does the carbonation get low?
I don't know.
You don't know?
No. Ugh. I mean, it's sitting there under pressure. If I let it go for like a few days, it'll get better as it sits. But I did hit it with like pretty high pressure the first couple of days, and it's still, I don't know. Thumbs up or thumbs down? Chad.
Well, I put a finger in it, so I'm going to give it a thumbs up already.
Okay.
Gross.
Yeah. Is that how you deal with other things in your life? I like the mango nose,
mm-hmm.
and like the strong mango flavor.
Yeah.
And it's like oddly kind of light too in a way.
Yeah.
So it makes it more drinkable.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy it. Thumbs up.
This is the first beer I've ever had, so I don't, I can't really like rate it that well, but it seems fine to me.
In, compared to other beverages.
This is the first. This is the first liquid I've ever had.
I feel like it's sort of like if you take a sip, it has. Well, so was that a thumbs up or a thumbs down?
A thumbs up. I'm enjoying this.
I feel like it's got the carbonation feels a little bit like, you know how when you get like a. Like a nitrogenated beer, like a Boddington's or something, like the that like carbonated feeling is like smoother and it makes it feel like a cream soda or something. Yeah. I feel like that's what this has a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
But I don't know what the hell I'm doing or talking about, so.
Well, just an update. I don't really feel my teeth as much anymore, so that's nice.
You got used to the cold.
Chad is intoxicated. He's half a glass in and he's done. Okay, well, guys, I appreciate you taste testing my beer, and this is the first episode. I'm going to do one a month. That's my plan. So I'll invite you back for the next one. I haven't determined what I'm going to make yet, but
is this the first time you've tried the beer too?
No, I tried it a couple times. Mm.
Still alive. That's good.
Yeah, it's actually really hard to make poisonous beer. So
why do you know that?
Well, because I read a lot of brewing forums and people who are new to it are like, oh, I don't know if I did this right. Is it going to kill me if I try it? And people are like, it's nearly impossible.
I'd just throw it up too if it was that bad.
Yeah. But the process itself lends itself to killing off the stuff that's harmful. And
so you said the alcohol content was around a 6. Yeah. How do you make it higher or lower?
How do you know that?
He just tastes it and it's like that's a 6.
There's a thing called a hydrometer and that measures the density of the liquid. So before you ferment it, you take a hydrometer reading and that basically tells you the amount of dissolved sugar in the solution. And then after it's done fermenting, you take another hydrometer reading and then there's a formula that you plug those two numbers into and it tells you what by comparing those two numbers, you can see how much of the sugar was fermented. And if you know that, then you know the alcohol volume. And I have a little computerized one that just floats in the fermenter the whole time and like shows a chart. I could see like I can tell basically when it's done. Mm-hmm. Attenuating. That's the word for processing. When the yeast is processing the sugar, it's attenuating it. So when it's done, I can tell by looking at the chart when it levels off and then that's why I'm able to like turn the beers around pretty quickly.
On my way here on the subway, there was a homeless person that was asking for like money or food or water or whatever.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They never asked for water.
He asked for a bottle of water.
The homeless man's like, can I have some water?
And I've been trying, in my mind, I've been trying to give more to the homeless.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been. Because if I have more than $1 in my pocket or my wallet, I don't want to take out more than $1 and be like, here's right. just $1.
You don't want to like thumb through all your
here's
big
all
bills.
My 20s. Here's $1.
I'm sorry, I only have 20s.
Well, right, and I don't. So my point is, I had a bottle of water with me, and so I gave it to him. It was half drank, but it was like a big bottle of water. Fine,
sure,
you're asking for water, I'm going to give it to you. And so I felt good about it, but then I felt immediately parched. And I think I'm thinking.
So did you then follow him and tap him on the shoulder and say, actually,
hey, can I take a sip? No, but I think I'm drinking this beer faster for that reason.
Okay.
Because of that. Because
Are you feeling it?
I'm feeling a little.
Okay.
A little loose.
Okay, that's good.
Loose.
I need to be some relaxed. But I just have one more question. Why is your dog licking the floor?
Oh, that's just what he does.
Oh, man. His tongue's really just getting in that rug.
Yeah.
It's making me thirsty.
Well, I eat a lot right there, and then I drop a lot of crumbs on the floor.
Next time, next podcast, I'm just saying. Maybe some pretzels. Some
charcuterie.
a little cheese.
We do have wrap snacks.
Some cheese. Yeah, those things are great.
There's snacks for wrap fans.
We can bring our own snacks if we're drinking the free beer.
That's an idea, Chad.
Free snack. Bring our own snacks. What? What is wrong with you?
Yeah.
You're not taking care of the homeless, and you're suggesting that I bring snacks? What? Oh, I did what? There's particular ones that I do.
I do occasionally, around the holidays.
Yeah, I have my favorites, and those are the people that I take care of. Can't be doing everybody.
Or like around the holidays, you know? Like once on Christmas Eve, like I gave a homeless guy $20.
$20.
Yeah. $20.
That is would you open the ATM door for you?
Put it in a card.
No, I was coming out of Starbucks, and he was like, it was in Chicago. It was super fucking cold, and he's just like, "Hey, man, can you know?" And I was like, "Yes, you can, buddy." Woo!
Wow.
Yeah. He and the rest of the tramps enjoyed a Christmas goose that night on me. okay.
What a wonderful life.
Well, thanks for trying out my beer, guys. Well,
I'm still drinking it.
Let's get drunk.
Okay, bye.
Hold on. See you next time on Live Free or Die Bosch.
That's good. Yeah. We should have a podcast where we'll just review beverages. Each new beverage. Here.
So there you have it. That was my crew of experts tasting the Mango Milkshake IPA, and they liked it. They seemed to like it. As you can see, it wasn't. It definitely wasn't a home run. And I really do think that was due mostly to the poor carbonation. I'm not really sure what went wrong with the carbonation. I don't know if it's if the difficulty to carbonate it is part of the style, maybe because of the density of the beer, maybe it has something to do with it. Like I said, the tasting was actually done a week ago. I brewed this a couple weeks ago, and I'm sitting here now drinking it again while I record this, and I had it under pressure. I actually upped the pressure to 12 PSI for the last week. We recorded that a week ago. So since that night, I've had it at 12 PSI. And that's sort of the upper end for the pressure you would have an IPA at. That is my understanding anyway. I could be wrong about that. But based on the carbonation tables that I've been looking at for the temperature that I have the beer at, 12 PSI should be pretty good after that initial burst carbonation. And it's definitely better. It's definitely better this week. Something that I was told by my friend Bill at Breaker Brewing in Pennsylvania was that if you have a beer with vanilla in it, carbonation is going to bring that vanilla out in a big way. So I think that the undercarbonated beer during the tasting is the reason that those vanilla notes didn't come out so heavily when those guys were tasting it. I remember tasting it a week ago with them, and it was very mango heavy. There was a slight hop bitterness, but it was all mango up front, and really great hop aroma. And this week still have great hop aroma. But the balance has definitely shifted between the mango and the vanilla. I don't know if that's simply a product of leaving it for a week, just letting it sit, letting it mellow and letting the flavors mature. Or if the increased carbonation is bringing that vanilla forward, like, my friend said that it would. So his advice was to be conservative with the vanilla because carbonating it is going to bring that flavor out so much that you don't want it to end up tasting like cream soda. So, you know, I'm sitting here drinking it now. I'm definitely happier with it now than I was a week ago several days prior to that when I tapped that keg for the first time and tried it. This is good. I feel like this is a beer that I would order in a bar. I don't know if I would order five or six of them over the course of a night. It is kind of a stronger beer. It came in around 6.3% alcohol. So, you know, you have one pint of it and you feel it a little bit. And, but it's good. It's refreshing. I said this during the tasting, but I think it would be a great summer beer. You get that citrusy, flavor and scent. It sort of cuts through your palate like drinking a citrusy beverage. It's even though it has that heavier feeling, that heavier mouthfeel of a milkshake IPA, it is refreshing in the sense that it has the, majority citrus flavors to it. So, I'm definitely overall happy with it. I would definitely brew it again. I might bump the vanilla up to 2 vanilla beans, but I think everything else was pretty spot on. I was happy with the strength of the beer, with that grain bill, with my efficiency, with my equipment. It turned out, that's sort of the sweet spot, like a 6% beer for me. I don't really get into those session beers. It's just too much. It gets into the soda territory for me, I don't want to drink barley wine, but I also want to feel what I'm drinking, so 6% for me is the sweet spot. 7% and up is where it starts to get a little too much. Like, you can't have too many of those in a session, but 6%, I mean, this beer is right in my wheelhouse in terms of what I enjoy, and what I would typically order when I go out. So, in that sense, very happy with it. The appearance, it looks great, smells great, tastes great. I don't know that it's quite up to snuff in terms of what you would find, at Tired Hands in Philadelphia, but that's a pretty high bar. So, given that this is my first crack at it, this is the first time I've ever put fruit in a beer, first time I've ever put lactose sugar in a beer. Not too bad. I will, call it a win, on the binary scale of win or loss, definitely a win. And if you decide to brew this yourself, let me know. I'm sure that there's an email address on the website. I'm just getting this set up. So, I don't know what that is at the moment, but, click around. There's gotta be a contact link on there. Let me know if you tried it, if it was any good. Yeah, that's it. So thanks for listening. The next episode, like I said, could be anywhere from 2 weeks from now to a month from now, doing these a minimum of once a month. So, I hope you'll subscribe. Hope you'll listen to the next one. And in the meantime, head over to the blog, homebrewonthestrange.com. You can see the detailed show notes for this. I'm going to try to do a little art for each episode, for each beer that I do. And, just, generally have fun with it. And, head over to homebrewonthestrange.com, my blog, where you can read the show notes for this episode. There's links to the recipe if you want to try to make this yourself. There's photos of the finished beer so you could see how it turned out. And some other fun stuff, art that I'll be making for each episode, and some other content. Like if you want to, I'm going to put a list of all the equipment that I use. If you're interested in brewing the same way that I do, if you are perhaps brewing under the same constraints that I am. I am in Brooklyn, New York, in a relatively small apartment. So, I can't use one of those brewing setups that you see in Brew Day videos on YouTube, where guys have, the garage open and they have the propane burner out in the middle of the driveway with a big, kegel on top of it with 10 gallons of wort boiling. Like, that's just not something that I can do here. But I make it work in a tiny space, that I share with my beautiful wife who tolerates this. And, if I can do that, you could do it. So if you want to see the equipment that I'm using, which if you brew, that is an, constantly evolving, beast. I will be keeping, an up-to-date list, on the blog. You can click on the menu button and look for the brew house link, and you will see what I have in my brew house, very strong air quotes there, but you'll see a list of the equipment that I use to make the beer that I talk about on this show, and just try to make the process as streamlined as possible so that my wife doesn't throw me and all of my brewing equipment out the door. So check out the blog, and I really hope that you'll check out the next episode. So until then, cheers.
Good. Be quiet. Be calm. Name?
Curtis.
Press Village. Nothing else.
Like that.